Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Football is back. AB is in Oakland. Le'Veon with the Jets. OBJ and Jarvis Landry have teamed up again in Cleveland. One thing that hasn't changed, though, where I'm placing my bets this season. My bookie is a place to bet football every weekend. My bookie has better bonuses and more profits than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least 100 grand, and it costs 100 bucks to enter. All you gotta do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. My bookie's been good to me. You bet they win, they pay. And right now they're doing the first deposit bonus where you double your first deposit. Put 100 bucks, you get 100 back. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR, ARMCHAIR. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, welcome. It's Vlad Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Tuesday to you guys. As we go from a the post-mortem for Pitt, Virginia. And, you know, it was cool to see a lot of you guys out there. You know, pitched through your tailgate. You know, all the action stuff. All the drinking, the pit band. You know, it was good. It was really cool. So I hope the loss didn't hurt you too much. I'm sure you got some... You went to Rib Fest and got yourself some delicious ribs, depending on who the vendor was. Although, I did see... what did I see? I saw one vendor looked like... They were putting some Jack Daniel's sauce on their ribs, and which to me is a big red flag in terms of barbecue, because, well, for one thing, if you're a barbecue vendor, it's kind of sacrilegious to use store-bought barbecue sauce. I mean, you should have your own sauces and rubs by then, if you're an actual business, and your reputation is barbecue. And for one thing, if you're caking the barbecue in sauce, I would probably throw that stuff in the trash as soon as you get it, because good barbecue should not have a whole bunch of sauce on it. Good barbecue should be eaten without sauce. The sauce actually should be a bonus, where the barbecue's already good, and the sauce is just, you know, a great bonus, where it's even makes it even more better. You know, I didn't really understand that until I moved to Texas, and of course, I've kind of become a barbecue snob because of it, because everybody has their own style, whereas, you know, you have, in Carolina, you have the mustard base sauce. They're big on that there. In Texas, they're not much of a sauce type of state. For them, it's about the wood and the dry rubs. You know, you gotta have a certain rub and you gotta have a certain wood that you use. That's what it's all about. So, Pitt opened up a season, as we all know. And they dropped their opener to Virginia, 30-14. There was a lot of buzz. We had the rebranding, the nice uniforms. The visitors from, you know, football, basketball. All kinds of awesome things. And on top of that, we had a new offensive coordinator, a revamped offense. We're finally going to get shit together. Well, the game started. We went 3-and-out on 3 straight passes, I believe. And after a while, I was asking, okay, where's our ground game at? Are we using it? And one person on Twitter mentioned to me, well, we invested into a guy who pretty much throws the ball more, so this is what we're getting. And basically, Pickett was missing his targets. And then, you know, Virginia marched down the field, got a field goal. And then we couldn't do anything else. Then our special teams rigged ugly head again and had a punt blocked. And thanks to a pass interference call, Virginia eventually would get in the end zone. And it was, but before we knew it, it was 10-0. Pitt's defense eventually settled in and shut off Virginia for the rest of the half. They held them to a field goal. Obviously, Mark Whipple had to change some things up on offense for Kenny because Kenny couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So we had a lot of wheel routes, screens. Stuff you saw similar to like when Penn State had Trace McSorley last year. Kenny got more confident, more assertive. And before you knew it, by halftime, we were up 14-13. Things were looking good. I mean, we had momentum. Second half, it fell apart. Early in the game, obviously in the half, I should say, we couldn't get off the field. We had a blitz that went bad where Pinnock just whiffed on the player. Before you know it, they were up again. Of course, we could have, got the lead back. And Taysier Mack had made a hell of a play on a pass. He batted down. Great defensive play by him. And next play, Pickett got picked off, and that was pretty much the story for the rest of the game. Basically, UVA adjusted on defense, and they were blitzing the hell out of us and pretty much punishing Kenny Pickett until he couldn't take no more, and that was it. And on top of that, we couldn't get nothing done on our running game, which could possibly explain the running back transfer. You know, Saluten, I guess, is from D.C. He's going in the transfer portal, maybe. Obviously, he fell in the depth chart, but it could be also the philosophy as well. Maybe he didn't like this whole passing first type of thing. You know, it's not really what he signed up for. On top of that, it's a crowded backfield, but we didn't get to see much of the backs because we really didn't do much with them, on Saturday. And they were just fixtures. And of course, same with French and Mac. I mean, Virginia did a hell of a job on defense silencing us, silencing our playmakers. And of course, Whipple could have drew up whatever he wanted. It wasn't going to matter. And as Pat Narduzzi said in his press conference, Kenny's problem is he didn't get the ball out. He was supposed to go get the ball out fast, and he wasn't. Which goes you back to that, takes you back to the Hard Knocks, where Nate Peterman is getting screened up by Groom, because Groom's telling him to get the fuck on. It's because Pierman's supposed to get the ball out quickly, and he's not doing it. And he's getting sacked, and that's pretty much what's happening to Pickett. He's not getting the ball out fast enough, and boom, there you go. All in all, a pretty disappointing loss. But it is what it is. I didn't give Virginia a whole lot of respect before this game, and I gotta dial it back. I gotta give them plenty of props. They came to play. They lost some guys, you know, some skill players. They had guys step up. They made some big plays, and they kept us on the field when our own offense wasn't keeping us on the field. But they made plays, and that offense, I think, for them is going to get. I mean, they're going to get better as the season goes on. Defensively, they did a hell of a job against us. They held us to 14 points. Although we didn't do ourselves any favors either in this game, we made a lot of mistakes and we spotted them points. I think we spotted them, I guess, at least a good 17 points probably. Maybe more than that, 20 at least. But they took advantage of it, and that's what good teams do. They take advantage of their opportunities, and that's what they did. They capitalized. But if you look at the Virginia schedule, they can win at least 10 games. I mean, I thought the with the squad they have, they could do it. I mean, pretty much everybody in the Coastal is beatable. Miami isn't that good. Duke obviously isn't great either. They got pasted. Louisville's in our conference, but North Carolina had a surprising win over South Carolina, but South Carolina is coached by Will Muschamp, and that's one thing. I had South Carolina winning that game, but I forgot who was coaching them, which is Will Muschamp. And he got outdone by a guy who hasn't been coaching in years. So, there's that. But yeah, I mean, Virginia could probably, with the squad they have, I mean, if that defense stays stout and if the offense gets better every week, they're going to win 10, 11 games. They're probably going to play Clemson in the Coastal Division. Not Coastal Division. They're going to take the Coastal and play Clemson in the championship game. So, good, you know. Hey, more power to them. I'm sure Virginia Tech is not really too happy about it because, you know, they lost to Boston College over the weekend. Which, I mean, I had Boston College winning that game because Tech just isn't good. And this was a game that Adazio really needed to win, and he did. He pulled it off. And, yeah, the coach from North Carolina was Mack Brown. Mack, he got himself eliminated from Texas because he wasn't recruiting that good anymore. Mainly because Texas recruits itself. As, you know, we wrap up our recruiting class, say, for 2019, Texas usually would have their class of 2020 wrapped up. But the issue with that was that Mack Brown stopped recruiting. And the players that they thought were once really good weren't that good. And players that were recruiting were actually really good. That's how other teams like Baylor just got really good all of a sudden. Same with, you know, TCU. It's because Texas stopped recruiting a lot of these really good players, and they weren't offering them. So Pitt's got to hire you next week, and of course, that'll be on the ACC Network. And speaking of that, that was good, actually. You know, I went on Reddit streams and I found the stream for the Pitt Virginia game. Of course, I was behind, maybe one or two plays behind you guys, so I had to stop following Twitter sometimes. But you know, I posted the link on Facebook. Of course, I had people reaching out to me. My mom reached out to me because my dad wanted to watch it, and she was like, "What's your account info?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She's like, "What's asking for a credit card?" And I'm like, "Yeah, don't click the ads. Skip the ads." I was like, "You have to look for the black screen where the video is going to pop up eventually," which it does, which it did. So it worked out for me. Although I probably have to run a spyware scan on my machine after, you know, before I do the Ohio game. I just don't understand why U-verse can't, reach an agreement, because AT&T owns DirecTV, and they have an agreement. But I think with that, AT&T's been trying to get people off of U-verse and go to DirecTV for a while now, and they've been looking for reasons for people to go to them. Because basically what they do is they'll when I had problems with my Wi-Fi, they kept giving me shitty boxes, and I had eventually they fixed my gateway, and then my cable box that was still functioning was still really good, but the person doing the work decide to give me a new box, because I need a new box. Well, he gave me a DVR with a bad hard drive, and so nothing was ever recording, and of course it operated like hell. I think for a while I had to keep rebooting the box, and then they had to come replace it again because of that. Because it's like when you boot it up, you hear the hard drive clinking. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a bad drive. So I'm not sure if he had that. I told him, I was like, can you give me a DVR that's actually new, not something you probably had sitting around in your van. I'm sure he'd like me hearing that, but being a desktop support tech myself, I know a lot of times if I had to replace a hard drive, I always have a brand new one. I always have one that I pulled from a system that was still good. Or at least I thought it was. And it turns out it isn't. And of course, there's some road rage going on. People being cut off. Yep. Rush hour traffic. So, bringing the team, special teams get a D because they had a punt block and they shanked the field goal. And I think at the time it was 23-14. It would have cut to 23-17. So yeah, I give special teams a D. And that's being generous. Offense, I give them a D as well. There's some good, I like Whipple's offense. It's just he needs somebody to execute it, and I'm not sure how long we're going to give Kenny Pickett until he executes it. I just don't see him ever doing it. We're limited with him. I'll never forget what he did for us in that Miami game, but we were very quick to blame Sean Watson for everything, and he didn't help matters with his play calling, but offensive coordinators can't make the throws for the quarterbacks, and we saw that on Saturday. We saw last year as well, especially the Stanford game. We were mad at Sean Watson, but Pickett got to make plays too. The guy's now in year three. This is not something you want to see in year three with your quarterback. You want to have some sort of confidence. Kane just doesn't seem to have that right now. I'm not sure what happened to him last year. I'm sure Sean Watson had some part screwing him up, but maybe he's been like this all along and we just didn't realize that. I don't know, guys. Defense, I give a B. Actually, B plus. They start out shaking in the beginning, then they settled in. They whiffed on some plays. But overall, they were pretty solid unit for being on the field for that much. The person that were replaced with Rashad Weaver had a hell of a game. And, of course, the defense was ferocious as well. Plus the secondary was good when they weren't getting called for pass interference, ticky-tack calls. And it was hilarious because when Pitt was up 14-13, the ACC announcers were all pissed off, and they were cranky, and they were complaining about everything about what Pitt was doing. I mean, they were very, very bitchy when Pitt got the lead. And when Pitt was leading, they were very bitchy. And then eventually, when Virginia was pulling away, they were happy and they had victory sex. And my hope is they used BlueChew.com. So for those ACC announcers, if you want to celebrate a nice win over the over a Yankee program, go to BlueChew.com and be ready. It's got the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's chewable form. So go celebrate and have a nice, good time in the announcer's booth. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR and get your first shipment free on us. All you gotta do is pay $5 shipping. You'll log in, you'll go online, you'll do a survey, and you'll do a consultation with a doctor or a nurse that lasts about a minute. It's a video chat. And then you'll get your shipment in about a day or two. And, you know, it's in a anonymous brown envelope. So if you're going to celebrate the announcer's booth, you probably want to order your shipment a few days ahead of time, which for these guys, they would have been gone by then. So guys, like the ACC announcers, go to Blue Chew. Because if you want your own cathedral lit, you got to have it rock hard, solid, and standing up. Sorry, ladies, for the visual. My apologies. Yeah, you know, it was funny because I was going to recommend, you know, Blue Chew for the ladies, you know, for their men. But you got to do a health survey and, of course, do the video chat. And, I mean, and plus, if you're going to suggest it to your boyfriend, your husband, Blue Chew, they may get mad. Like, they're going to say, well, you know, I'm not adequate enough, or I'm, you know, I don't keep, you know, I don't stand at attention. You know, if anything, they're just performing enhancing drugs for some people. They're just PEDs and whatnot. Anyways, guys, let's move on because we got more to talk about. Actually, not a whole lot, because we have the just around college football. See, the ACC in general. Oh, don't worry about that. That's a big rig on the other in the other lane. And of course, he just almost hit a big rig in front of him because I guess he's just half asleep or he's jacking off in the his crew cab. I don't know. Texting while driving. Although, I've never texted, you know, I don't think anybody's ever texted in a big rig before. I'm sure some people have. I don't know. If we go around the ACC, we saw North Carolina beat South Carolina. I didn't see that happen. I thought South Carolina would win that game, but, well, you know, it was a game where who was going to give it away more, and I forgot that South Carolina was coached by Will Muschamp, and he basically got outfoxed by Mac Brown, who hasn't been in the booth in years. Or on the coaching salons, I should say, in years. Louisville lost to Notre Dame. You know, they kept them Notre Dame for the, you know, at least the first half, but that was about it. Lather, rinse, repeat. Boston College got a big lead over Virginia Tech. I think it was 35-14 at one point. And I was like, yeah, it's gonna be a long season for VT. One of my followers said, shh, it's not over yet. And he was right, because they cut the lead to 7 eventually, and I was like, well, yeah, good thing I don't play the Powerball or I choose numbers. But Boston College hung on and won that one. Miami, as you guys know, had, you know, they played last week, and, you know, they choked against Florida. So, you know, they're done there. Wake Forest, I believe they won their game as well. I think that was last week, actually. I think it was before the weekend. It was one of the two. Syracuse knocked off Liberty. Hugh Freeze was coaching from his hospital bed, which was kind of odd. NC State knocked off East Carolina, 34-6. Florida State, picking up where they left off from last year, choked off a big lead against Boise. I had Boise winning that one. No surprise there. Duke got pasted by Bama, 42-3, which was no big surprise. So obviously the Coastal's, Virginia's in the driver's seat. But overall, it's still wide open. Although I think, a safe bet UVA probably, takes the whole thing. Just around the top 25 as well, Clemson hammered Georgia Tech. Although that's technically ACC, but I call it top 25. I didn't watch much of the game because obviously it was on television. Some people have said that some things Tech did were self-inflicted, but they're in a transitional from Paul Johnson. That's going to be a long season for them. Looking at other teams, Penn State pasted Idaho 79-7, which doesn't bode well for us. Although one Penn State guy said he loves the defense. Offense, he's not sure how they're going to play. He said they look great against Idaho, but going against a Big Ten team, he's not sure. Maryland obviously paced their opponent 79-0. And it was like on the anniversary of the death of their player, and it almost seemed like they were, I guess the way they were tweeting this, these tributes, it was kind of in weird taste. Oregon lost a heartbreaker to Auburn on one of the final plays of the game. So that doesn't really bode well for the Pac-12. I mean, because Auburn isn't that great. I mean, they have good players, but they're taking steps back. But other than that, there was not a whole lot that went around. Not much else that was happening from the top 25. There just wasn't a whole lot of great, riveting matchups. I'm sure there may be one or two I missed, but of course, I'm in rush hour and I'm not going to cycle through my phone to look at them. I'm sure I can pick them up later. Oh well, guys, I'll let you guys have the rest of your day. Hell to Pitt. I'll talk to you guys later.